This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave. All right, Mercedes, welcome back into the studio.
Thank you very much, Jake, and hello, everyone. I'm back after a short hiatus
taking care of the axolotls last week.
You're, of course, tuned to a Friday Rave with me, Mercedes, and Jake here at the beautiful studios down on Smith Street. You're listening to Community Radio 3CR, Radical Radio, 855 AM, or on digital, or via all the W's at 3cr.org.au.
And I want to just give a shout out to James, who was just on before us. I know there are people who listen through the podcast, and there are also people who turn it on at 5 o'clock, but you ought to have a listen to In Your Face, starting at 4 o'clock on a Friday.
Absolutely. Indeedy. And we are, well, another massive week.
Another massive week.
What the cuss is going on?
It's only half an hour. And, the first thing I want to mention is Trump's, what did he say about Cuba? I could do anything I want with it.
Mm.
And it reminds me of Trump on another Caribbean island.
Yep.
One owned by his mate Epstein.
Yeah, it's the most glaring example of patriarchal violence and power.
It's absolutely disgusting.
And meanwhile, Cuba is, you know, there has been a medical aid and food flotilla that arrived in Cuba this week after long term sanctions has left hospitals and food shortages, fuel shortages, everything.
Yeah.
And people without. And the situation in Cuba is so bad now in that people can't access resources. We're complaining about the price of fuel here, which is a thing, but, you know, under heavy sanctions by the US and not being able to have hospitals operational and the infant ICU able to be operational.
Yeah. It's already, they've run the country into the ground, and he says he's going to have the honour of taking Cuba.
Mm.
Like the biggest military that's ever existed on the face of this planet, and taking on the tiny island nation of Cuba after embargoes for 50 years more, and he considers it an honour?
Mm.
It says where the guy's head is. And what can I say where the guy's head is, you know?
So far up his own ass that he doesn't. Sorry.
Well, that's it, you know. I mean, his neurosurgeon and his proctologist must be the same doctor, I reckon. sorry.
Don't apologise. That was where my head was going anyway. All right. Look, let's get on to what we're going to talk about because this is only going to get worse, I think.
Well, you know, when you listen to the mainstream media, news of the war in Iran sounds like they're calling a footy game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Who scored, who missed, bit of quarter time analysis on what the coach might do, should do, how it might happen, a bit of inside information on the rule changes. It's appalling. But dig a bit deeper into some of the left media and you'll even get some really good analysis, some shit analysis, but some really good analysis about how the closure of the Straits of Hormuz is going to affect fertiliser prices and everything else, as well as oil. And, you know, there's the news, for example, that Australia has declined the offer of the opportunity of sending a warship to the Gulf.
Mm.
And they're saying that's a red line that Albanese refuses to cross in support of his obsequians.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's been this week, as listeners will be aware, that Australia sent the Wedgetail, and we reported a couple of weeks ago that there was a Globemaster, a Wedgetail, and two KC-30 refueling planes. And Richard Miles said this week that US has access, which we all knew, to all of that intelligence out of the CENTCOM airbase. And so I can't really imagine that there is a situation in which intelligence that is collected from the Wedgetail is going into a shared intelligence switchboard and Australia going, oh, no, you can't use that to attack, though. It's only for defensive. You know, there's not a situation where that's going to happen. It's outside of their control once there's interoperability between those.
That's it. Like the sailors on the LA-class submarine. What was it called again?
The Charlotte.
The Charlotte. They went to bed while they were pressing a button. You know, you can imagine the commander of the Australian forces saying, oh, listen, all you Americans need to shut your ears for a minute here.
Mm.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. And I guess, you know, that comes into question. I haven't really thought about this or looked into it, but that question of line of what is considered offensive and defensive. Because in a situation like this, I kind of see it that it's defensive actions against Iran's attack on US bases, but US and Israel attacked. So, you know, where is that line?
I'll tell you where the line is. Nothing we are doing is defensive.
Mm.
Nothing we're doing is defensive. We want to call it defensive, then we're saying that Iran's attacking us. If we want to be able to hold that line, we ought to get out of the Gulf.
Yeah.
Until that point, everything we do is offensive.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm offended by a suggestion to the contrary. And it's, you know, but I want to mention Donald Trump. We have talked about Donald Trump. And I probably digress from most people thinking this is about Donald Trump. You know, we just said what we said about his statement on Cuba. And it's not about Donald in the way most people understand it to be. The normal consensus, I guess, is that Donald Trump has taken the US down a peculiar Trumpian path and that he's the decision maker, but he's not. He is important, he is an arrogant turd, and he is gunning for the war for his own interests as well. But the truth is that he's like any president or any prime minister or defence minister or foreign affairs minister, whatever for that matter. In a capitalist democracy, he's working in the best interest of his class.
Mm.
Global capital. And global capital, the people benefiting from this war, I don't think it's too outrageous to suggest, run the world as we know it. And it's not just one homogenous blob. I mean, outsiders look at the left or look at the union movement and imagine us as all seeing it from the same hymn book. We're not. And neither is global capital. There are various factions of it, and they're often competing among themselves. Well, they're always competing among themselves.
Mm, but still in the interest of capital.
Yeah, they're not after my $50 in the bank.
Mm.
They're after each other's $50 billion.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're after.
And I think Scott in our Saturday kick-ons summer special spoke about that, you know, in regards to the Atlas network of that it's not a homogenous block, that they're still competing with each other, but the overarching project is the same.
Yeah. Exactly, you know. And, you know, it's like even me, I don't know how to put it. Sometimes I wear a suit. Sometimes I wear street clothes. Sometimes the global capitalists put an Obama in. Sometimes they put a Trump in, you know, and they do it almost cyclically. They put Bush the first in to completely blow things up, and then they put in a Clinton who continues along the same road but with a friendlier face.
Mm.
And then they put a Bush Jr. in who blows things up, then they put Obama in.
Mm.
And then they put Trump in. And then they put Biden in, which is a bit of a weird hiatus. And now you've got Trump again. And the next one is going to be Joe Blog Democrat, who's utterly woke, could probably even be a woman.
But I mean, Mamdani, even in New York.
There you go. Sorry, I missed out on that one, but you're correct.
Yeah.
Mamdani in New York. It's not my attire. Like when I'm wearing a suit and I'm in a meeting with people, I act differently to when I'm in street clothes at a pub with people. But it's not the suit or the street clothes that's making the decisions any more than it's Trump. It's just the front, the mask, the presentation you're giving to your audience. And that's what Trump's doing. It's not about Trump leading us to war. The whole world knows it's a cock-up and can only end in tears and destruction. It's about global interest doing what it's doing. And rather than an aberration, it's business as usual. People are saying Trump's taken the mask off. You know, I've used the term myself, that the masks are gone. This is raw power, even referring to George Kennan's famous dictum of 1948, I think it was, that the time is coming when we can't afford the luxury to speak about vague and unreal objectives like human rights. We have to deal in straight power politics. That's what's happening here. But then Trump is himself a mask for global capital, you know. It's all down to what they want to do, and I'm just sick of people always focusing on either Albanese or Trump. I mean, I do it myself.
But I think Albanese and the current Labor government provide that role of the passive, not saying anything role of what global capital requires in terms of Australia of being a sub-imperial and very strategically important point for US global hegemony.
Of course it is.
And so Albanese and the Labor government, even though their politics might differ from what they say to the cameras, and, you know, but irrespective, I don't give a shit whether it does or it doesn't, this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're playing the role of acquiescence and maintaining, in an attempt to maintain relevance to global capital.
Yeah. And they're doing it from different lines. Like Trump comes out and be openly racist with his ICE and his deportations and his immigrants-eating cats and dogs.
Fascist, I would say.
Fascist.
Yeah.
All that shit. Whereas Albanese comes out and he talks about socialist values. Well, he used to talk about socialist values and labour values. And
well, now it's just social cohesion, which is
Exactly. So even when he does want to have a crackdown, and he is cracking down, he does it in terms of combating racism. We're not being fascistic. We're just anti-Semitic. We're anti-racist. But the same thing is happening. Laws are restricted us. People are going to jail. Refugees are being thrown out of the country and denied entry into the country. The same shit's happening. One's saying openly, not quite, I'm a fascist, but I'm a racist prick. The other one's saying, I'm a nice guy, but these things just need to happen for social cohesion.
Which social cohesion in and of itself is sort of this floating signifier? Like, can it be defined as ever actually existing in a time? You know, this is this idea of this is not what Australia is. This is a whole other conversation.
It's
a whole other conversation that I think that, you know,
we need to have one day soon. But the other thing, you know, you look at what they've done in support of this war phase, just in support of the war phase, it goes much further than sending a few planes and torpedoes and information. It goes further than that. And, you know, or even if we join the on-the-ground campaign, this triad of Miles, Wong and Albanese endorsed and extended the AUKUS project that Morrison got us into. And it's not about submarines. You know, excuse me, when you look at the things that this government has brought in, bugger Morrison, look at this. This government has brought in the extension of the Force Posture Agreement, the Defence Export Amendments Bill, and the Naval Nuclear Regulator. This government has put in place everything they need that enables them to hand over all our sovereignty. I yarned about sovereignty last week. I'm not going to go into it again. But they no longer have the ability to make the decisions because of all these raft of legislations that came in under the rubric of AUKUS. And one could almost say that the government rushed these through precisely so they couldn't do anything about it and give themselves an out and say it's nothing to do with us. They've already used that. Like when we were talking about the weapons that will go to Israel, they're not our weapons, they're American weapons.
They're controlled by Lockheed Martin.
They're controlled by Lockheed Martin.
In regard to the F-35 parts, of course.
And it's only like that because you passed a law that said it could happen, you deceitful prick. You know? And that's what they're doing, you know, the Naval Nuclear Power Act that gives a new regulator, unelected, absolute control over so many aspects of Australian life.
Mm.
And this is what I'm trying to say.
And defence procurement now.
And defence procurement is the same.
Mm.
And this isn't about a war. That's not like there's Australian society and part of Australian society is a war. This is now about, and I don't know where we crossed the line, but I know we crossed it.
Mm.
This is now about an all of society approach to making war.
Mm.
It's our industry, it's our education, it's everything is about gearing us up to make war. And every week it's more and more and more tied to it. So it's not about the war, it's about society. Our society cannot exist without this war. We've said that forever about the US society, but we've now got to the point where we're just as bad.
Yeah, and I just kind of going back to where you were, you know, we were talking about the passivity of this government, of just kind of like fawning, staying quiet about everything, rolling out the same lines, particularly Penny Wong rolling out the same lines all the time. But how quickly the first government in the West to go, we support the attacks on Iran.
Yep.
And what a stark contrast that was over compared to the last 2.5 years of the government being silent on an ongoing genocide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Albanese came out with this, we support the US war on Iran, quicker than John Howard came out with, we support the US war on Iraq.
Mm.
Crazy.
And, yeah.
I mean, not standing up for Howard, but hey.
But hey.
Go for it.
Well, where are we going to get to next?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, we were going to have a look at, we mentioned defence procurement.
Right.
Just before. And so something has happened this week. And Jake, I think you'll be able to talk a bit more about this than me. But the National Audits on Major Projects report came out. And there's a great rundown of that by Rex Patrick on Michael West Media.
Yep.
And there's about a $37 billion blowout on defence major projects.
Yeah, we can't work out where it's gone or how it got to be that big.
That big. I mean, you know, you can include the submarines, the however many billion, $4 billion, I think, on the French submarines that was a cancelled deal.
But no, this was just the frigates, wasn't it?
This are not just the frigates.
Not just the frigates, but
mainly the frigates. And I guess there's $10 billion. I mean, we're looking at the figures of the first, 3 days of the US attack.
3 days of the war was
$11 billion. And I guess, you know, we made the thing of like, that's pretty much the same amount, the $10 billion that the Australian government has given to the US as part of AUKUS, their submarines deal. We've just paid for it.
And looking at the intercept, which came out March the 17th, St. Paddy's Day, which was Wednesday.
Tuesday.
That's right, we had a meeting. $11 billion, already. $12 billion last Sunday.
Mm.
And that's a week.
Yeah.
2 weeks, sorry. Mm. But first of all, this...
Yes.
National Audit Office.
Yes.
All right. The National Audit Office, it's the last thing we had that can actually hold the Department of Defence to account.
Or have any sort of transparency. I don't know, does it actually have any power to hold them to account, but at least allows them open for scrutiny.
It gives us the information we need to try to hold them to account.
Yes, yeah.
And because the US, like, you know, the difference, they've got the nasty face on at the moment. They've got the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, and that examines their government spending, including their Department of War spending. And it doesn't need to act on its findings any more than our government needed to act on ours, but it lets us know what's going on.
Mm.
I get so much information from the US Government Accounting Office on military spending.
Yep.
And I used to, these reports used to come out quarterly, and I used to read these reports.
Mm.
I'd skim them, and even the ones I missed, the other researchers who are looking at this work, I can rely on their information knowing they've quoted the GAO, and it's a, you know, not the GAO, the our one, the Australian ANAO, the Australian National Audit Office. But now there's nothing. It's all going to happen now through a, and what do they call themselves? This public accounts and audit.
No, so the public accounts and audit, the Joint Committee of Public Accounts and Audit, yeah, put together the major projects report, but yeah, they're scrapping that now.
Yeah, well, they got the office to put together the report, but now just individuals, it's going to allow them to individually ask questions and see greater. Mm. And who, you know, who are these bureaucrats? They're talking about making it just the three parties of government. At the moment, there's a Green and a One Nation in there, but they're saying it's going to be just Libs, Naps and the ALP, and it's all backbenchers who are looking for promotion.
Mm.
There's not a minister in there. There's not a senior member of parliament in there. It's, you know, have you heard of Senator, I've got the list here, Varun Ghosh or Scott Buchholz or Mary Aldred?
Nope.
I don't know who these seat warmers are.
Be able to find out. So I guess, I mean, just to so the major project review was a report on that gives the figures of how major projects, including in defence, were going.
And yes, now,
so the Joint Committee of Public Accounts and Audit has told the Auditor General to stop producing that
That's
report,
right,
and now they're saying that no, we're going to undertake a process of to make sure that that's still scrutinised and it's still there, but we just don't need this over whole report that the Auditor General has, who has the same powers as to investigate actual. And question ministers and get that information.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that report anymore.
Yeah, no. And so it's going to be up to us. And these people, as I said, I don't know who Senator Varun Ghosh or Scott Buchholz are, but you can't imagine them. You know, these are all junior backbenchers whose sole task, whose sole raison d'etre in their job is to keep the senior ministers happy so that when they resign and they retire, it'll be their turn.
Mm.
No one of these people is going to rock the boat.
No. And, of course, we've talked about the revolving door so often, so
yes,
they're not going to rock that boat, because when it's their turn to retire or to leave office or parliament,
they'll be working for a defence company,
exactly,
or a consultancy or whatever it is. This is like totally... they'll nod their heads. They'll do what they've always done.
And we've said on the show so many times before that Australia has the most secretive military in the world. And
the most what military?
Secretive.
Secretive.
Yeah, and the lack of transparency around it, and that is only increasing under the guise of national security. And like we can't even know. Like, we've got our own foreign minister saying the legality of an attack is up to another country to decide, and we weren't privy to the intelligence. And it's like, hang on, so if you're wanting to tell us it's under national security, but you're telling us we don't have the intelligence, like,
they're making it up as they go along.
Absolutely.
They're making it up. And I've got to say to you, Mercedes, and friends and other listeners, you may not realise this cynical move to shut down this major projects audit, and by the ALP government, and I want to stress that, this isn't a Liberal or coalition government. This is an Australian Labor Party government led by the unholy trinity of Albanese, Wong and Miles. This is one of the most important changes to the way our Defence Force is monitored and scrutinised.
Mm-hmm.
Our reporting, my reporting on these issues will be a lot sparser from here on end.
Well, and it's going to get a lot harder.
Everything's getting along. And this is coming from a Prime Minister whose major policy platform when he was Leader of the Opposition was Scott Morrison's secrecy and calling for greater transparency in all areas of government.
Mm.
This was his big rallying cry. We need to be able to see what the government's doing.
Mm.
And he's done nothing but shut down every peephole.
Yep. And also that, you know, is coupled with the announcement that we spoke about a couple of months ago, and that was announced about the changes to defence procurement, which is now going to be a closed,
yep,
a closed door yeah. decisions, I guess.
Everything happening in Canberra.
It's like Temu Doge.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Temu Doge. You're absolutely spot on, mate. And this is disgusting, you know. And then, as I say, you look at the... Geez, we were going to talk about so many other things today.
I know. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left. Do we want to talk about ASIO?
Oh, the ASIO. Oh, gosh, that's the other thing we need to...
Can we do that in a couple of minutes?
Oh, ASIO. Yeah, I can talk. I think I can say everything I need to say about ASIO in 2 seconds. Fuck them. back in 2003, during the previous war in the Gulf, the last time we had a foray, they increased ASIO's powers on a temporary basis and gave them a whole lot of powers, and they pushed it through in just a couple of days, and it's going to be extended in July by the, you know, the laws that the Howard government couldn't push through, the Albanese government will.
Mm.
All right? And it's include warrants to interrogate people as young as, I think, 16, isn't it? Only just need the Attorney General to give a warrant, and he always acts.
Mm. And to detain suspects without warrants and...
It's absolutely... I mean, the Law Council of Australia's, you know, woken up from its slumber and put in a rather strongly worded submission to it. What can they do? I'm just looking through it here. But anyway.
But also the speed to which that this ran through the House of Reps and got full support in 2 days. Like, I think I want to do a little bit more of a digging in this this urgency, this fabricated urgency. It's like, we need to do this now, you know, and this like acting now, and we need to do it as if like, so, but it's a fabrication. It's like,
and what? Even in 2003, it was debated for 15 months.
Yes.
Because we had a Labor Party doing what they do best, and that is being in opposition, calling these fuckers to account.
Yep.
Not being a Me Too. Well, who's this at the door?
Oh, hey, Tilda.
Hey.
It's
Tilda, and it's Jordan.
Jordan here for Slacker Radio this week, because we are just about out of time. We were just having a bit of a rant about ASIO.
Yes, yeah, sorry about the...
For a change.
I hope the colourful language didn't upset listeners who may have tuned in early for your show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we like to keep it a family show here at Slacker Radio.
Yeah, we try to keep our effing and Jeffin to a minimum. And...
Okay, well, we should too, but I better give up this spot behind the panel so you can start your show. But that's us on a Friday rave for another week, of course. We're in the studio all together, which is lovely.
What are you talking about this week?
Oh, we got all fun. We're going to talk about Mexican restaurants. Ooh. Are they too spicy?
The Coast Guard.
What, yeah, the Canadian Coast Guard.
Do they have a duty of care or not?
Or are they too spicy?
Yeah. Yep.
What else we got? We got Afro Man.
Afro Man.
Oh, I saw that. It is very hilarious. That's watching good. The copper cry and on the stand. Don't you hurt me? I love it.
Owie, my fifis.
Yeah. Well,
it's all yours,
show.
And thank we'll you. Play a. You'll play a cart while we reshuffle the deck chairs.
If I can find here in the studio.
The Titanic that is 3CR? Question mark?
Yeah.
Unsinkable.
Unsinkable. All right. We'll catch you next week. Stay tuned. You're on Community Radio 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.